Turning our attention to extended warranties. You need them, or do you buy one when you're buying your product? You think you need it? Larry Mueller here, WPR News, and joined by Liam McCabe. Liam is a writer who covers home improvement for Wirecutter. It's a consumer products review site. It's owned by the New York Times. And had them on in the past from Wirecutter. They do a nice job and have some really good stories. And I'm wondering about you. Today, at this moment, I think I'm having a television set installed on my wall and at home. My other one kind of went to pieces a little bit. So I bought one. And frankly, I'm glad my daughter is, one of my daughters is home. Because you have to have somebody there, of course, when something like that happens. But the person who sold me the TV set spent a lot of time talking with me about purchasing an extended warranty. And it's a fairly expensive little proposition I'm into here. And it was it made me kind of think about it. And I thought, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to take my chances. And I think Liam's got a lot of great information that sort of confirmed my own thoughts on this. Liam, welcome, by the way. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And you wrote a story earlier this month for Wirecutter that appeared in the New York Times and questioning the value of extended warranties. How did you wind up tackling this topic, or why did you?
Well, I had a period a few years ago really getting into personal finance just to kind of get my own house in order. And I had heard a few times that these are generally a losing proposition, and kept that in the back of my mind as something to write about. And as I was working on some other projects, I had mentioned this to a few people I worked with. And a lot of people were resistant to the idea that the math was as bad as it actually turns out to be. And I found that fascinating too. Like why when the numbers seem so poor, do people still psychologically kind of cling to this as a form of protection against, you know, unwanted outcomes or loss of money?
Yeah. How often do people do it?
It's pretty common. So the best estimates I've heard are it's about 30% of electronics purchases end up getting an extended warranty attached to them. I think for certain categories like smartphones, it ends up being more than that, closer to 65 or 70%, according to some estimates. And, you know, Apple Care in particular is really big business for Apple. It's, you know, tens of millions of products are covered by that.
So what makes these protection plans so attractive?
Well, psychologically, I think, you know, there's something in human nature where you want your purchases to feel fair and you want to protect yourself against potential loss. Like if you're going to spend $800 or $1,000 on a smartphone, it's going to feel bad if that thing breaks, you know, early and you end up having to pay out of pocket to repair or replace it. So the fear of the pain of losing that expensive and important item seems to outweigh the pain of paying this protection premium, you know, whether it's a monthly payment or a lump sum when you end up buying the item in the first place.
Yeah. And how big is this industry? I mean, you mentioned with the iPhones, but it extends beyond them for sure.
Yeah, it's a large industry. Best estimates I've seen are globally, it's, you know, probably $150 billion business per year. And it's been growing and expected to grow significantly.
$150 billion. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well,
yep.
And as you say, they are kind of an opportunity, maybe to, you think you're buying some peace of mind. And I suppose it is sort of plying on your vulnerabilities there. But every item sold in the U.S. comes with an implied warranty, does it not? And I mean, right. maybe legal. Talk about yeah. what that means.
Right. So legally speaking, and any item sold in the U.S., like you said, comes with what's called an implied warranty. So that's the product will do the thing that a reasonable person believes it will do for a reasonable amount of time. And that leaves some gray area. So most of the time, product manufacturers will write out the specifics. So in the written manufacturer's warranty, and they're allowed to do that. Usually that's 90 days to a year, but sometimes it can be longer. And that manufacturer's warranty typically protects against defects or poor workmanship or something like that. The extended warranty is an optional add-on. You know, like in your experience, they tried to sell you on this idea that, you know, I don't know how much your plan was, but you know, I guess it's probably around $100, $150.
That was more like close to $300.
Was it that much? Okay. Yeah. It's expensive. Yeah, that would have also protected you against, you know, it would extend the amount of years that the protection applies. So it'd probably be 3 or 5 years typically. Yeah. And it would also, you know, cover you in case of accidental damage. You know, it's an extra, more comprehensive layer if you are willing to pay that premium on top of the purchase price.
I was thinking about it. Rationally, well, if it goes for 3 years or 5 years, you expect a product like I was, you know, this TV set, which is a pretty high end one, to be perfectly honest, because I don't plan to buy another one. They're gonna it's a company that I like and respect. In fact, it's the one that I had was like 14 years old, and so if it's only 5 years or 3 years, the darn thing ought to run that long.
Yeah, you would hope, and I think the stats reflect that generally they do. You know, one of the themes that kept coming up among people, and this has been studied as well, people tend to overestimate the likelihood that something will break. You know, I don't know if this was your experience, but did the sales representative kind of like push the idea that, you know, maybe this thing may not last as long as your last one? That's a common technique I've heard.
Well, there was that.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, somehow it being damaged in the house, whether it's a cat or myself tripping or what, you know, there's all kinds of things like that that were discussed, hazards that I didn't think would ever happen, to be honest. But
Right. Yeah, and you know, there was a study done, I think, in 2018 that found for a lot of categories, not all of them, some people in some categories, people actually have a pretty good idea of a typical failure rate, but in many of them, and it's usually kind of high end electronics, people overestimate the likelihood of something going wrong by like 3 times what the actual likelihood really is.
Jim in Lake Geneva has a comment. Let's go there. Hi, Jim.
Hi. I've been interested in your program because I have only taken out a few extended warranties because you're giving your money to an insurance company and they will never want to give it back to you. And so what they're doing is they're making a bet that the product will live along the beyond the 5 years or whatever it is that they're selling, and then they'll walk away with your money. And so they know what the failure rates are, and they're going to make money on it. So I don't do it. Just
yeah. Well, Jim's comments seem to be right on track there, Liam.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. You know, and any insurance company, in for any kind of insurance, you have to assume they have much better information than you do about the actual failure rates for these products. And, you know, sometimes you'll win. Like there will, you know, like any kind of bet, there will be cases where you end up being right that your product fails sooner than they expect it to. But for the most part, it's like going to a casino. The casino is confident that they're going to end up winning, so they don't mind if a few people win, because in the long run they're going to come out way ahead.
Jim, thanks a lot for calling. I was thinking back. There was a time I bought a new iPhone. We lived at that time on a lake, and I bought the phone. I didn't take the extended warranty. And then on the pier, like 4 days after I had bought the phone, it fell in the water.
Yeah.
So then I went back and I bought it again, but that time I took the extended warranty. And of course, right. I never had another problem with the new phone ever.
Yeah. That's the frustrating part is, you know, you do lose sometimes, and it feels unfair. You know, I think part of, and I've heard a number of stories similar to yours since the article published. And, you know, I guess every person has to do their own calculation about their actual likelihood. You know, how likely are they to be in a situation where something could go wrong? So, you know, I don't think it's fair to make the blanket statement like you should never get these, because I think there are cases where they probably do make sense. It's just really hard to figure out when those cases are. So I think the wise stance to start with is, you know, I probably don't need this, and then back into it from there. Like assess it from a place of, I should probably hang on to my money, but what are all the reasons, you know, what are all the possibilities for this to go wrong?
Liam McCabe, our guest today, writer for Wirecutter, covering home improvement. We're talking extended warranties with him. You can join in, number 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Talking with Liam McCabe, writer for Wirecutter, and we're talking about extended warranties with him. You can join in 800-642-1234, email to talk at WPR.org. Let's go to Julius in Madison. Julius, hi. What's on your mind?
Hey, Larry. Yeah, thanks for having me on. So I thought it was really interesting that you guys are talking about extended warranties, because I feel like there's a really common occurrence where people get these calls every time they buy a car for like the next 3 years after you buy your car. They'll be like, hey, we're calling about your car's extended warranty. And one interesting thing that I noticed when I was looking into this issue is that extended warranties, even though they're marketed as a warranty, using the same language as what your product comes with from the factory, are actually completely different from a factory warranty. They're technically what's called a service contract, which means that a manufacturer or whoever's offering the warranty can essentially skirt the regulations that a normal factory warranty would have, where companies are usually required to let you fix your own things or let you purchase your own parts and make your own repairs. And if a product still fails, under the factory warranty, they'll still have to honor their promise. But yeah, under a extended service contract, which is marketed as an extended warranty, quote unquote, the terms are completely different, and they can take away your coverage if you go and seek a repair elsewhere. Even though federal warranty laws like Smith-Magnuson-Moss Act in 1975, those hold factory warranties accountable and require companies to still service your product even if you still are getting third-party service or fixing something yourself.
Interesting. Liam, is that how you see it?
Yeah, that's correct. So they're, you know, the manufacturer's warranties are federally regulated. There's a specific law on the books that dictates the language that they're allowed to use and what they're allowed to I don't want to say skirt responsibility for, but it's along those lines. In the, you know, before that law was passed, there were a number of cases that gave warranties a bad reputation in general. There was a infamous one. I wrote about this in my story. A woman had, she was driving along in I think it was a Plymouth that was 10 days old. And all of a sudden there was a loud crack and the steering went out and she veered off to the right into a brick wall. She was hospitalized. She was okay ultimately, but they tried to get the dealer to cover the cost of all the damages to the car, like the hospital stay, the front, all the bodywork, all of that. And they said, well, you signed a warranty that said we will only cover the defective part. So we'll cover the steering column, but the rest of it is actually your responsibility. And a judge in New Jersey, where the case took place, he came down on the side of the consumer instead of the car manufacturer in that case. But that was one of many examples, many cases that inspired the government to take a closer look and set some stricter rules about this.
Well, Randall and Stevens Point has something that may relate to this in a way. Randall, hi.
Well, hello. But a little story of my son having bought a pretty expensive snowblower from a big box company based in Wisconsin, and a major name brand, and it failed within 2 or 3 hours of using it. He had paid for the warranty, and we tried to collect, and finally advised him, just place a phone call every twice a week until something happens. And he told me what was happening. They had an auto hangup that would occur in 60 seconds every time you made a call. He couldn't get through for a very, very long period of time. This went on for nearly a year. And finally made a request online in writing, did all the hoops and everything. And they said, well, we're unable to find anyone in Wisconsin who can fix this snowblower. And they actually sent him a check for the entire price of the machine. So it was kind of interesting how that turned out.
But he had to go through a lot of hoops, even though he had the extended warranty, Liam, to get anything. And you probably have many other stories about people who have the extended warranty and ran into trouble.
Right. Yes. There's a story in the Atlantic Monthly last year about a concept called sludge. It's these tactics that companies use to try to just grind you down and get you to give up. It's like frustrating examples like that where it's impossible to get through to a human. I think for the most part, extended warranty claims go pretty well. Like there was no strong evidence that, you know, I don't think it's fair to say you're very unlikely to get, you know, made whole from it. But there are plenty of cases where that does happen. There was a gentleman I spoke to for the story who bought an extended warranty plan on a set of headphones, like a nice, expensive set of headphones. He sent them in. The service center said, oh, these actually work fine, and sent them back. And he's like, they don't. Like, well, you just have to plug these in and you can clearly hear that there's no audio coming out of this. So he went back and forth with them 4 times total, and they still insisted that the headphones worked. And he finally sent them a video of him plugging those headphones in next to some other ones. Like, there's no sound. And he even took them apart and showed them a video of a cable that was disconnected. And eventually they were like, okay. And they sent him a refund, which, sort of like this snowblower case, is a little silly, because it would have been a 3-minute fix at, you know, maybe a cost of $2 in parts. Yeah. And instead, you know, they end up sending him the $530 in return. But yes, this is a known flaw in the extended warranty ecosystem.
Bob, thanks, Randall. Bob and Madison, your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Larry. Can you hear me?
No, we're having an awful time with you. We're going to have to let you go because I really can't hear you well. I'm sorry. He had a comment about phone cell phone warranties, but David has something relating to phone warranties too. So let's go there. David, hi.
Hi there. Yeah, thanks for taking my call, and thank you for all your years of service, and good luck on your retirement.
Thank you.
So anyway, yeah, I've been pretty lucky with Verizon, kind of paying the price, you know, instead of what's in the AARP magazine, stuff like that. And the last phone I bought was a Samsung, and it was pretty good for about a year and a half, and I did buy the extended warranty on it, and they sent me a different phone. I had to send my old phone in, and that was actually worse than my not-too-good year-and-a-half-old phone. So then they told me to take it out on East Washington Avenue to this place, and I took it there. And the guy said, this isn't a new replacement phone. It's a refurbished replacement phone. And, yeah, anyway, they sent me back another one. So the second one had the same problem with it. The third phone was finally a new phone. So anyway, the guys on East Washington Avenue out there, you break it, I fix it. That's part of Asurion. So anyway, yeah, tearing my hair. But both the replacement phones were refurbished phones, not new phones.
Common? Common, Leon, to have
that? That is, you know, that you have to... You have to pay attention because I think what this gets at is, you know, you can do your own research, but the amount of effort that it takes to look into the details and the diligence that you need to maintain to make sure you're getting, you know, a fair deal on these, you should take that into account. Along with the price of the item. So you're not only buying protection for whatever it is, $12 a month, you're also potentially, you know, signing yourself up to deal with an additional headache if you do need to take care of, you know, if you find that things are not going as smoothly as maybe the plan had advertised. So that's, you know, if you think you're buying peace of mind, that the knowledge that you're making extra work in the future should be part of the calculation, I think.
Oh, man. So is there a simple way? I mean, if I'm spending $4,000 on something, is there a way I can, and you have to probably look at the product. You have to look at is there any information about how good it lasts or how long it lasts? In other words, you have to go through a lot, but typically what happens is you're going out there, you're picking something out. You may not have done any of that, and then they're wanting to sell you the extended warranty.
Well, and even if you want to do that, it's very hard to find that information. So I worked for Consumer Reports for a little while, and they have excellent information on brand reliability. But it's by brand, not by product, not by specific model. And it's a trailing indicator also. You know, it's based on data over the past several years, weighed out by year. It can't really tell you about the new product that you're buying right now. So, you know, even if you were willing to put the work in, you can't necessarily find information that's accurate enough to help you make that like coldly calculated decision, you know?
Oh man, Liam. Oh, this time really flew by. I'm sorry it's so fast because I've got other questions for you, but maybe you'll come back and be with us again. Look forward to it.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. I hear you're retiring soon.
Yeah, 59 years on the air. So I guess it's time to get. My extended warranty is running out. Thanks, Liam. Liam McCabe is a writer for Wirecutter covering home improvement. And Lee Rayburn will probably talk to him next time around. Thanks to Lee Rayburn, and thanks to Joel Patnaud and Clara Neipert and Jeff Robbins, all of our team, our executive producer, Jill Nadeau. And I am Larry Mueller, and I invite you to stay listening. Lots more in store here on WPR News.